Welcome, Impactful Parents. It's time for the Impactful Parenting Podcast, where I give you parenting tips and resources to make you a more impactful parent to your school-aged child. I am your host, Christina Campos. Hello, welcome, Impactful Parents. Today we are live. And let me give you here. All right. So today we are going to be talking about how to explain bullying to a small child. And not only that, actually, we're just going to talk about all things bullying. I'm so excited to be here because I have a very special guest. Hello, everyone. If you don't know, my name is Christina Campos. I'm founder of The Impactful Parent, and I help parents of school-aged children turn their chaos into connection with their adolescent. I offer free parent education videos every single week. I have online courses and I do some coaching, but if that wasn't enough, I bring experts in other fields onto the Impactful Parent stage to teach them even more. And today I have a very special guest. Her name is Dali Rivera. And Dali teaches kids and parents about bullying awareness. She does whatever she can to prevent kids from being bullied altogether. She's an anti-bullying coach with a program called Diversity and Anti-Bullying Academy. I'm so excited to have her on today. So thank you for being here, Dali.
Oh, the pleasure is mine. I'm really excited to be here and have this conversation with you.
And for those of you who are watching live, I want you to know that you are welcome to put any of your questions into the comments, and I will be able to read those and ask Dali your questions so you can get those answered live right here. So I'm very excited to get started to talk about bullying. This is Bullying Awareness Month. Is that correct?
Absolutely. That kicks off today, and it's nationwide. And it's just to bring awareness, like, you know, to prevent it. And also, if it happens, to let people know, how do you manage it? What do you do?
Awesome. Yes. Awesome. And so this is the perfect time to start talking about bullying with your children, whether it's a preventative thing or whether or not you're trying to troubleshoot. Maybe that something is happening in your life. And I could not bring a better resource onto the Impactful Parent stage. So let's start off, Dali, by talking a little bit about bullying. I'd like to know the difference between bullying and teasing, just so we can get on the same page, because I think that sometimes it gets really misunderstood.
Yeah, that's a great question. And that's a great way to start educating yourself about bullying, because I asked so many adults about, you know, the differences, and the definition that most of them give me is the definition of teasing. So bullying is pretty much when you have unwanted aggressive behaviors done to you, and it can be said or done to you physically. It's also there's a power imbalance, and what that means is that somebody of authority or somebody that feels like they're more popular or maybe of more control over you, they use that against you. And it's also something that is consistent, or it has the potential to be consistent or ongoing. So that's usually what it is. And it also is more about the receiver, not the giver. So if you feel like you've been bullied and all of those things that I just mentioned fit the description, then you're most likely being bullied. Now, teasing is different, because when teasing happens, it's something that happens mostly among friends, and it is not meant to cause ill feelings or for you to feel distressed about. Whereas bullying, most of the times people feel like they have to avoid the person that is targeting them. They feel angst, they feel stressed, they feel scared, they feel unsafe. And with teasing, usually it's just like, it might bother you a little bit because maybe they touched on something that happened to you that was embarrassing. But for the most part, it's not repetitive. It's usually from friends. And usually they tease you because they're like, hey, remember that time that you walked into that pool because you kept looking down on your text, you know, texting people. So it's more like of a reminder of like, hey, remember when you did this and this happened? That was funny. Haha, don't do it again. Or just for last, but most of the time among friends, you kind of share a piece of the pie. It's not just that same person getting targeted all the time. And those are the most distinct differences. And so I think all of us have a situation where we were teased by family or friends, or maybe even colleagues or classmates. And then yeah,
still to this day, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm reminded of certain things that I've done. I'm like, oh yeah, that stop it. Don't bring that up. But for the most part, when you're like, stop it, that's embarrassing, they're like, okay. I just wanted to remind you, you know? Yeah.
Well, I just want to reiterate two things that you said that I think is that big differentiator between the teasing and the bullying. And one is, it's really about the receiving end and how that person is receiving the message, whether it's a tease or a bully. And the second thing is, who is doing it, as far as, is it somebody you consider a friend, or is it somebody who's an acquaintance or somebody you don't even know? And that's kind of that gray area, especially when it comes to kids that are in small schools, for example. Big schools, it's still there. But if you're in a small school and you only have a very limited class around people, I could see how some kids would, you know, you're kind of all friends, but you're kind of all, yeah. Some of them aren't as much. And so there's a lot of gray area there.
Yeah.
I want to talk about... how do I explain bullying to a young child? Because I know some of my audience has younger children. And not only that, but it's so preventative. If you can teach your child what bullying is and what it looks like, then they can recognize it and then they can get help earlier versus a child that doesn't even really understand what bullying is. So how would I do that?
Okay, so as far as the methodology is, you always start with books. There's so many books out there that give examples, stories. If you have a story of your own of bullying, then share that story, because kids will remember it. They will remember like what happened. If you use words to explain how it made you feel, then they'll remember that too. And also using those very descriptive key words, right? So when you're explaining, you know, when I got bullied, I felt really unsafe. I felt like I had to hide from that person. And they'll remember that, instead of saying like, when I got bullied, it was just mean. Okay, well, mean can be anything. You have to be more descriptive. So that's why the stories are very, very helpful, whether they're yours or maybe it was grandpa's or maybe it was grandma's or a cousin or a friend. But you also have a ton of books available. If you don't know where to begin with books, I have a big list that I can recommend. But also use your library and go to that librarian and say, hey, I have a child of this age. Can you help me find any books on bullying? There's so much out there now, you'd be surprised. So I hope that answers your question.
No, it does. And I think that's important for parents to know, is start with books. And that is so simple and such a great suggestion. Now let's talk about, what are the different types of bullying? Because as we go into a new age, it's much more than cyber. There's much more than that kid that just like punches you in the face and takes your lunch money. So tell me a little bit about the different types that we should be looking out for.
Yeah, there are lots. So the main four that most of schools teach are physical, social, verbal, and cyber. However, there's more than that. And just to name a few, emotional, there's sexual, there's financial bullying, there's a lot more, right? So I'm just going to break them down very quickly. Physical is the one, I think most people know what this is. It's, you know, pulling the hair, damaging your clothing, stealing your money, or damaging your notebook, or spitting, slapping, hitting, punching, all of that, or even blocking you from an entryway. Then you have social bullying, and this one is really hard for a lot of people, especially younger kids, because it's very, very like under the table. You know, it's hard to point out and see clearly. And by the way, most bullying happens in settings where there are a lot of other people around. And So with social bullying, it's the spreading of the rumors and damaging or tarnishing your reputation. It's the one person who decides to tell everybody, hey, Dali's not cool, don't talk to her. So then suddenly she is out of her community. She's kicked off. She's no longer part of the tribe or the community. So she's been isolated from her community. And, you know, one example I can give you where I've seen this so much is when you have a birthday party in a classroom, And the one child, the birthday child, is like, everybody, there's a party at my house. Everybody's invited except so-and-so. And then something else happens and it's like, hey, everybody, I have a Halloween celebration at my house. Everybody's excited and, you know, invited except so-and-so again. Or like we have recess and everybody goes outside and they pick their teams because they're going to play softball. Everybody picks their teammates except that one person again. So it's repetitive in different forms where that one person is always excluded because they're not fast enough or they're not cool enough or they're just not like, don't talk to them. They're snotty or they are crybabies or whatever. So that is what social bullying is. And then you have verbal, which is the insults, but it's not always just the insults. Sometimes it's those unspoken mannerisms that we have, like,
Give me an example.
Yeah, like the passive aggressiveness, or like the ignoring that you're even there, or that you said something, not acknowledging you all the time. That is actually part of verbal and a little bit of social bullying too, actually. And it's very common to see different types of bullying being done to people. It's not always just one type. So the verbal bullying can also be like belittling, like saying, oh, you're not the sharpest tool in the shed, are you? Or, oh, you're so pretty for being fat, or you're really quick for being so tiny, and like the put downs. So that's verbal bullying. And then, of course, cyberbullying. There's many within that, too. Like, you know, the insults or catfishing or the cyberstalking, you know, like the always saying, oh, I see that you just went to Starbucks. And it's creepy, right? It's like, why are you watching me so much? Or like, oh, I just saw that you did this. I'm going to, you know, tell everybody that I found out this about you, like exploiting you and also revealing some things about you that you wouldn't want anybody else to know. So that all of that is part of cyberbullying. I mean, we can go into more detail because it's not just one blanket like action or, you know, there's so much more. There's so many different ways that it can be done. So those are the
definitely four. Lots of gray area. And yeah. I want to clarify, could your friend bully you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? That's one of the reasons why so many kids do not report it, because they're like, but that's my friend. So one of the things that I like to teach is the difference between a friend and an acquaintance, because that is confused so much, especially when kids are very, very little. And I came to the realization that we need to educate kids about this, because my child came home one day when she was in kindergarten and she was really sad. And she said, well, my friend doesn't want to be my friend anymore because there's a new friend. And she said, she's going to be friends with her now. And she said, I don't know what I did wrong. And it really broke my heart, because I was like, you did nothing wrong. You've been in school for like a month and a half. This is not your friend. Yeah. This is just a classmate, an acquaintance. So she learned that word when she was 5. She learned what an acquaintance is.
I love that. That's a great suggestion, though. Mm-hmm. From very young, as soon as your child is school age, going to school, mm-hmm. it is a good conversation to have with them, even if you're dumbing it down to like a very simple level of where they can just understand it.
Yeah. And just recently, a parent told me that her little boy, who's in first grade, went through the same thing. So I told her, just sit him down, talk with him and tell him, hey, that's a classmate who happens to be an acquaintance. An acquaintance, this is how you can break it down to kids, okay, especially the little ones. A friend is somebody who doesn't make you feel bad, who doesn't insult you. They cheer you on, and then when you fall down, they help you get back up. They don't laugh at you because you've fallen. You know, that's what a real friend does. If a friend, a so-called friend, is saying that you're mean or they're making you feel bad, they're doing all of the opposite of the good things, then that's not your friend. And then also, your friend is that person that you feel so comfortable with that you invite them to your birthday party. An acquaintance, they'll stay in the classroom. You don't cross those boundaries. An acquaintance, you hang out and you play recess time or you work in teams with them, but you don't invite them into your private life because that's a little more sacred to you. That's a little more special. So only really special people are the ones that become your friends. And usually kids get it when I explain it that way.
I love that. That's really awesome. I'm going to reset the room for just a second. Just say, if you've just coming in to join us, we're talking all things bullying. This is Bullying Awareness Month, and I happen to have a bullying advocate here. Her name is Dali Rivera. And if you're watching this live, please put your questions into the comments. She'll be able to answer them live right here. Anything that you might have to ask. If you're watching the replay, you can comment with the word replay. You can even ask your questions there, and I can always forward them to Dali to see what she has to say. She's become a good friend. I really appreciate you.
me too. And by the way, I just want to say that I'm on Clubhouse and so is Christina. And we are going to be doing a monthly parenting room. So there's
that. Yeah, we are. And Clubhouse is an app that's out there. If you don't know, it's a social app, but it's somewhere between, let's say, a radio and like a podcast kind of app. If you're interested, you could find Dali and I both on there. Yeah, and now I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that gray area of bullying. I know from being a parenting coach that a lot of times kids will befriend the bully because it's so much easier to join them than it is to be against them. It's also a way for them to kind of secure that they're not going to be the one that's going to be bullied, right? And I see this all the time with people that I talk to, with parents and families that I have. And it's always very disheartening to me. But I'd love for you to comment on that. Any suggestions you would have if you have for those families who they see that this is happening, like, why are you friends with that person? It is so infuriating as a parent. Like, why are you friends with that person? They are whatever, they're doing this. And the kid is, they don't say it out loud because I don't think they sometimes even realize what they're doing, but it's a much more of a, it's easier to let's join them instead of being against them.
Yeah.
So how do you help your child in that situation?
So that's a very good point because of the, if you can't beat them, let's join them. And it's also called the going into survival mode where you just end up joining them. And there's so much about this. The number one thing that you can do to combat bullying is actually building up your child's confidence. I know that it's like, oh, whatever. Oh, that sounds easier than done. You're right. But there are so many small things that you can do at home to build up your child's confidence. Number one, role modeling. Role modeling is key because if they see you taking crap from somebody, but then you're not defending themselves, they're not going to know because you're not giving them an example. They're also not going to feel confident that if they stand up for themselves, that you're going to back them. Because they're like, well, they wouldn't understand. They've never done it for themselves. So how are they going to understand me? The other thing is giving them small challenges often enough so that you can start seeing that confidence build up. Like when they share an opinion, never shut them up and say, oh, that's not good enough. Because you're like dimming their light, right? When you are at the grocery store and say you want to find out what the price of an item is, encourage your child to go to the teller and say, hi, how much is this? And they'll be scared. They'll be like, oh, that's so scary. I don't want to go ask because my children have done that in the past. and you can just go with them and say, I'm going to go with you, but I'm going to be standing right behind you. And I want you to check the price for this item. You're going to be the one speaking. Okay. I'll be right behind you.
I love that.
And then they'll be like, oh, but you know, stay with me. And you might even need to whisper the question in their ear so that they ask it. But the key here is for you to challenge them to get out of that comfort zone, because yes, we all know when we're uncomfortable is when we're growing, and have them ask that question. Just whisper it in their ear and say, ask whatever. And then you'll see like their relief. They're like, oh my gosh. And you can say, see, that wasn't so hard. Next time you can challenge them by paying, give them the money or the debit card, you know, and also they'll be learning finances. But the whole point is show them that they can do these tasks. Or if you want to hang up a picture frame at home, a light one, say, YouTube it, find out, how do you measure it? You know, how do you figure that out? Every little task that you have them do builds up confidence, even if it seems really, really simple. And most of all, the power of them to use their voice. If they're very, very scared at first, have them do some breathing exercises. Like one that really works and a lot of professional speakers do is where they take in 3 deep breaths and you count up to like 5 as you inhale and try to count out 10 seconds as you exhale. It actually slows down your heart rate and it helps you calm down. And when they speak, encourage them to have a level tone and not too loud, but not shouting either. Because sometimes you can get really scared and speak too loud or way too low. So all of those little things. And if they need to rehearse with you, then rehearse with them, role play. Until a child actually does something, that's when they'll be able to excel on it and build on it. Reading about it is great and watching it, but until you execute the action, they're not going to know. They're not going to know.
The role playing I have found is absolutely key. Whether it's in this bullying situation or whether they're nervous about just about anything, teaching your child to role play is it's so valuable. There's nothing like it. And it doesn't mean that you have to go out there and act it out with your child. You absolutely could, but role playing, it could be like, think about it in your brain. Mm-hmm. And what are you going to do? I do this very similar, or encourage it with my parents, with their teenagers when they're about ready to go to a party. Like before you even step out the door, what are you going to do if somebody offers you blank, you know? Yeah. And you help them think about what they're going to say. What are they going to do in that situation before they even walk out the door? They're role playing it in their brain. They're thinking about what response, because you don't want them to spontaneously think of the response in the moment. Instead, you want them to say, oh, I've thought of this before. And then the response is more seamless. There's a higher opportunity for success in a peer pressure situation. And it could be same thing with a bully. What are you going to do if they come up to you and they threaten you tomorrow? What's going to be your action plan? Mm-hmm. And getting them to think about that, just it could change just about everything. Just it prepares your child and gives them exactly that confidence that you're talking about. And even if it doesn't give them confidence, at least it's one step closer to the getting them to do the right thing that they needed to do, which is so hard when they're having to think about it all on their own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And there's so many other ways to boost your child's confidence. Like sports or art classes or singing classes, just anything that demonstrates that they have the ability to do something that they thought they could not do. And it's really important, because when it comes to responding to a bully, that's going to matter. And there's also like a whole class I can give you on how to respond effectively, where you're not going to blow everything out of proportion, and you know, where you can keep yourself safe. And it's important to know like what type of bully you're dealing with. And I have a blog post called Not All Bullies Are the Same at dollytalks.com that you can check out. But it's just really helpful to educate yourself, because depending on who they're dealing with, then you can give them the appropriate, you know, advice on how to respond to it.
And I want to talk a little bit about what if your child is the bully, which again, I see often when they do it's better or it's easier to join them than to beat them, right? Mm-hmm. So now you might have a child that is the bully. What does a parent do then? And what are some of those signs that, this is my kid?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I always get so happy when parents ask me, because that just tells me like you care, because some people have this notion that the parents of the bullies don't care, that they don't even, that they're in denial. But sometimes it's just that they don't know how to deal with that, right? So first, let's talk about the signs. If your child is exhibiting bullying behaviors, then you might notice how others react around your child. Like, for example, if you go and say volunteer in the classroom and you notice nobody really wants to hang out with your child, or that your child has a name, like a nickname, they've been maybe stigmatized as the trouble child or the bully, of course, or something negative, that's a sign that's like, wait a minute, what happened that they're calling you this? Or maybe even the teacher has referenced to him as the challenging child or anything like that. And does your, what kind of friends is your child hanging out with? Is it the kids that are constantly at the principal's office? How are they behaving? Are they very irritable? Are they super aggressive? And sometimes, actually, I have had a few parents who say, hey, my child is a great kid at home, but I notice that she kind of talks down to her sister. And she's really, really smart, but she kind of says things like, well, they're just stupid. They don't know, you know, like I know. So sometimes it's the very, very confident kids, because there's this, misconception that the child who's usually the bully has low confidence, but that's not true. Usually they're very, very confident to the point that they cross that line and go into the arrogance area, and they use that as like, but I know better. You do what I tell you, and this is how it's gonna, you know? So, if you have a very, very smart kid that feels like they're right on everything, to have that conversation with them about, hey, you know, you have to be careful because you don't want to come off as the bully, because I know you know things, but you have to learn humility and let others, you know, answer the question, and you can't talk down to them because they don't know and you do. Everybody has different, you know, intellectual abilities. So it's really important, because I have had that scenario actually several times when people are like, my child is really, really good, very like leadership, you know, 100%. And, but they insult other kids and they say these derogatory things because they feel like, oh, they're wasting my time, you know?
Sometimes so, it's the really smart kids that don't want to tolerate some of the other kids, because they're just kind of like intellectually, they are really smart and they're kind of accelerated a little bit further. So just something to think about, parents, like you could be very proud of that. That's your child, just to teach them a little bit about the humility and the patience with other people.
And the way that you can actually help your child so that they don't end up doing that is to challenge them more with something that's going to help humble them down, right? Because nobody knows everything in the world. So if your child's one of those kids that's super intelligent and they feel like they're working with these kids that are just dumb, then place them with at a higher level of whatever it is they're working on, so that they're like, oh, I don't know everything and these people are smarter than me. And, you know, so that they know that, hey, not everybody's going to be at your level, and there are people that are above your level too. So, but if your child is hurting other kids, let's say it's not the smart child that's belittling others. Maybe it's a child that's spreading the rumors, or maybe they're hurting them physically. Then, of course, you always have to have that conversation and try to teach them empathy. And you can do that early on, empathy and kindness, with, again, books, stories. The point here is to have them be able to put themselves in that person's shoes and see that what their actions, how their actions are impacting that person. And, you know, how would you feel if they're hurting other people? Then the first thing you want to do is say, hey, I love you. Regardless of what you've done, I love you. You're my child. They need to know that your love is not conditional, that it doesn't have any strings attached, that you'll love them even with their mistakes. Because a lot of kids, they tie their self-worth to how they're loved by their parents. And the second thing is, you know, tell them, this mistake does not define who you are. It was the action that you did, but that's not who you are, you know? And then let's talk about it. Why did you do this? Why are you doing this? What compelled you to say this or do that? Okay, let's fix it together. Always include them in the solution, because when you include them in the solution, you are showing them that you value their opinion, and also that they need to have accountability and take action and fix that problem, right? They need to correct it. And try to avoid the words punishment. Punishment is, it's like a broken Band-Aid. So it's not even a good Band-Aid, it's a broken Band-Aid. It doesn't really solve the problem. So what you want to do is take corrective action. You know, a lot of schools, and this bothers me so much, they were like, well, yeah, we're going to discipline them. They're going to receive a punishment. No, they need a corrective action, because there was an action that needs to be corrected. And that's what the solution needs to be based around. So just watch your words, because kids will take it to heart, whatever you say. And if anything, just like always tell them, you know, you made this mistake, and I still love you. And that helps them understand empathy, genuine love, and that they're worth still like helping, because kids, they're very vulnerable. They're trying to find themselves. They're trying to figure out how to position themselves so that they don't get bullied and so that they don't get abused and, you know, all of that. So,
yeah, I remember. I mean, it's in the elementary school years, even high school years, it's kind of a game. You find your place, and it's about keeping that place and survival mode, even in that. A lot of our kids are living that survival mode, even just social survival mode, keeping their status and whatever. I would like to go back to if your child is the victim, and you know, if you hear that your child is being bullied or you suspect it, Mama Bear is coming out. Like, here comes Mama Bear. And my question is, should I confront the parents of the bully that I think is there? Do I go to the parents? Do I tell them? Do I call that mom and dad? Or is that a really bad move?
So this is... you got to be careful with that, because it depends on the situation. Now, if you go to a school, it happened at school, and you want to have a conference meeting with the parents of the kid who hurt your kid, the school's going to say no, and there's a reason why. The reason is pretty much because some parents can't control themselves. And like one principal told me, one parent lunged himself across the table and punched the other parent with the kids there in the room. So that's what they're trying to avoid, because parents get very protective of their kids. And so that's why they do the individualized meetings, the principal with the parent and the child, right? So if you know the parent, say like your kids have hung out and you know the parents, but you know that you are able to speak to the parent, you be the judge. And if you can, then you can. I have been in that situation where something did happen with a parent, and I was able to talk to that parent very amicably, but not every parent is like that. So you have to use your best judgment, and you have to be careful, because things could go so wrong. So if you can, if it's something that happened at church or at school, then have a mediator, a neutral party. You don't want your best friend there. You don't want, like, you know, your father, you know. You want a neutral party to be there in the meeting. Now, like I said, in the schools, it's very rare that you're going to get a meeting with everybody there because of those liabilities. So just if anything, when something happens, take precautions and keep a journal, a very detailed journal of who, what, when, where, why, how, if it was bullying.
That leads me into my next question, because if I can't go to the parent and my child is a victim of a bully, what are my first steps? And I'm hearing you say document. That's going to be one of my first steps, document things as a parent. What else am I going to do now?
you are going to report it. Because just telling the teacher that your child got hit or that your child is being social bullied or verbally abused, that gives you no evidence. There's no evidence. There's no track record that you have already complained 50 times, right? I have a lot of parents who tell me, this has been going on for like 2 years and I keep telling the teacher and nothing happens. And then when something major happens, it gets recorded, it gets written down and filed by somebody. And then they say, but we have nothing in record that this has happened before. Everything's word of mouth. It's the kid's word against the other kid's word. Think of it as a legal case. A judge is not going to hear hearsay. A judge wants evidence. And that's what you need to have. So your evidence is going to be your bullying incident report. Keep a draft in a journal, on loose pieces of paper, a Google Doc, whatever. And seriously, like if you don't even know the timeline, then say it was on the weekend before Halloween during lunchtime. There you go. You have a timeline. Who was there? Mrs. Smith's class. The whole class was there and this is when where it happened. You know, so like anything that you can get, because that's going to give the principal or whoever the investigator is an idea of what happened, who was there, who can they go and ask for the other stories, right? Because there's many sides to a story. It's not just one, two, or three. It's many, whoever was there present. And know that you need to submit your statement, hopefully, according to the policies or following the guidelines that you have been provided by the school. And a lot of people, a lot of parents do not read those guidelines because they're boring jargon. It's like policy number A, B, C, number, whatever, dash B, you know. But in there, you're going to find the school definition of bullying or assault or whatever. And then you're going to find keywords that you can use in your argument, your statement. And when you submit that statement, please ask for the solution. Don't just say this and this and this happened. You need to do something about it. No, you need to be more specific. You need to ask, what do you want done? And go based off of what the school can offer, which is in those guidelines. A lot of parents don't read them. And it's important that you do, because if it's not in those guidelines, they're not going to comply, because the schools have to follow certain policies, just like any other institution. So you got to be smart about it. And that's one of the things that I do with parents. I help guide them. And I read all those boring policies and I break it down to them, because I know that parents, we have a lot going on, you know? Who's going to sit down and read every single one, especially when it's like long jargon that you're like, oh my God, what? I just read that 5 times. I still don't know what it means.
And that perfectly leads into, before we end, I would love to know, tongue-tied there for a second. I would love to give you the opportunity to tell the audience a little bit more about what you do and where they can find you, because you are an amazing resource.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, everybody can find me at Dolly Talks anywhere on social media. That's my handle. And at dollytalks.com. So I have a lot of free resources aside from the posts online. I have a newsletter, but I also do one-on-one coaching, and I have a lot of recorded courses that parents can enjoy on their own leisure. I also go to schools, actually. I go and I do workshops for the parents, and I always go to the parents because the kids are being taught, in my opinion, not as in-depth as I would wish they would get bullying education. But for the most part, they're getting the education. So I work with the parents because the parent needs to know everything, even more than the child, because you are who children depend on. You are the ally. You are the one that they are going to feel safe with. And if they know that mom and dad got their stuff straight and they know their stuff, they're more likely to come to you and say, hey, mom, dad, this is what happened to me. Can you help me? So dollytalks.com, and you can book a free 30-minute call to see if we're a good fit. And then hopefully we'll be working together. So thank you.
I love it. So I'm going to make sure that I leave your website in the notes down below from wherever you're watching this video. So that'll be the website. Dali Talks is DaliTalks. So Dali Talks. And I am just so appreciative that you are here tonight talking to us about this. And what a great way to kick off Bullying Awareness Month in October.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
And parents, if you would like to become a more impactful parent, please check out my website also. I'll make sure I leave that in the notes down below. But I have parenting courses, family coaching, 30-day challenges, and so many free resources for you. But until next time, you got this, parents. We're just here to help. Thank you for listening today. Remember to subscribe and share this podcast with a friend. And don't forget, the Impactful Parenting Podcast is an extension of the Impactful Parent community. So go to the Impactful Parent website and sign up for a 30-day challenge. Browse the free resources or register for the weekly newsletter so that you don't miss a parenting tip that can help you and your family. Thanks for listening today, and go to theimpactfulparent.com. See you next episode.